Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, we have so much to talk about tonight.
I know.
We have like six games to cover. We have the trade deadline.
Vegas.
Where do we start?
Well, we're recording another video, dude. We can start there.
That's right.
So as you can see, the light is bright.
Alphonse Cuarón is here off of his Academy Award win. So congratulations, sir.
Yes, congrats.
And we're pleased to have you here filming us again with your weightless technology floating through space. I know Mike's no Sandy Bullock, but...
No, I am not.
I am quite the...
Although I will put those
George
shorts
Clooney.
On if you really want me to. I was going to wear a tank top.
No, please, sir. Speaking of short shorts, dudes, let's talk about Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas.
How is that a segue?
I don't know. There are a lot of people walking around in short shorts.
That's true.
Dude.
We did well.
We did well. Our picks were pretty strong.
Yeah.
You did especially well.
When we got there, let's see if we can remember.
When we got there, you did two games. You were feeling Minnesota at Vancouver. You took that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we both took...
I can't even remember what it was.
Did the Kings? No, we took the Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We took the Ducks.
Mm-hmm. We won that.
So we won both of those. You went 2-0 and I went 1-0. And the next morning we took the Devils. I went pretty big on that game.
Yep.
I won that game.
They won huge.
And then things went.
And I took Washington to win in Buffalo. In Boston.
I know. Which I encouraged you to do that. And then I never put any money on it.
Yeah.
I chickened out.
I understand.
Dude, that was a great pick. That was a great pick.
Huge. And I won.
You did win. And then it went south with the two noon games. I took Nashville. Yeah. We both took Nashville.
That didn't turn out.
They lost. And then I took the Dallas-Tampa Bay under, which was a really poor decision. That was over basically in the first period. So I got in the hole pretty bad. I had loaded up on that, and I found myself down. Pretty significant amount of money for me.
Right.
And I decided to go big and either go home a huge, sorry sack of a loser or end up even. And I loaded up on the Blackhawks in the outdoor game.
Yeah. Well, we both did on that.
We did.
And
we won. But I put a pretty decent amount on that game.
I don't know how much you did to win two or something. I can't remember what you did.
I ended up breaking even.
Right.
Thankfully, dude.
And then I had a monster night throwing dice, so I ended up a fair amount for the trip.
And we had some good meals, good stuff. Giant slab o' beef. We had something called lardo at Mario Batali's restaurant, Carne Vino, if you're ever in Vegas, in the Palazzo. That place is pretty damn good.
Really good.
So would definitely recommend it. And we had some adult libations.
A few.
Dude, I freaking love Emeril Lagasse's stadium at the Palazzo.
Yeah,
I love that place.
That was good. That was good.
Listeners, if you're ever in Vegas and you're looking to gamble, I mean, that place is sort of the ultimate.
There's a sports book in there. So you can stretch out a little bit. You got to order some food. They enforce some minimum.
Oh, but
whatever.
You can meet that minimum so easily.
Yeah.
And there's a sports book there. The food is awesome. You're sitting in like a stadium style, arena with a bunch of other fans watching all these games. It's like being in a sports book, but it's a little bit classed up, and the mm-hmm. food is pretty great.
Yeah.
We had some killer nachos.
We did.
Is everybody ready to eat? Let's eat.
Ate a lot that week.
I know, we sure did, dude. So it was a great trip, and once again, dude, thank you for picking up the tab.
You're welcome.
The only thing that
cheers me up is I have St. Louis, and we're going to talk about the trade deadline.
Right.
St. Louis got better, and St. Louis is now, although this could be death, St. Louis is now the odds-on favorite to win the Cup. I think they're 5-1 as of the last line. So
it's hard to argue with that, and they also now have the most points in the NHL as of today. So Yeah, we'll definitely get to the trade deadline. Should we do that first, or should we talk about the Sharks?
I look forward to them losing to Phoenix in the first round.
Let's talk about the Sharks first, and then we'll get to the trade deadline. We can close with that. We have six games to recap.
Yep.
We talked about how we thought it would be a good thing with the Sharks starting on the road, and proved to be correct in that first game, dude. Chris, hold on to your camera. I know that this our cameraman, Chris, is a big Flyers fan. And the Flyers got
steamrolled.
They got steamrolled 7-3. It was ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly, ugly game. Pavs with a hat trick. Couture looking sharp.
Yeah. Couture was
Torres,
bad.
Two goals. You couldn't have asked for a better way to come out of the shoot, right?
It was everything that Sharks fans wanted to see. They had the two big players coming back, and Couture and Torres. Both those guys played very well, much better than you could expect being out of the lineup for a long time. And you were thinking to yourself after that game, hey, you know, this is exactly what we were waiting for. This is exactly the kind of performance that we expected to have these two very important players back in the lineup. And then the next night they lose to Buffalo. Again, I might say.
Yes.
Again. They
lose. The Sabres have our number, dude.
I don't know what that... Thank God they're not making the playoffs in the West. I would be scared.
That's weird. Admittedly, I didn't watch a single moment of that game. So I don't really know what happened. I just know from what I read, the Sharks just kind of...
Mm-hmm. Let down.
Had a major letdown.
It was the next night.
And Niemi didn't play well. So,
right.
You know, you look at something like that and you go, well, okay. You know, you hope it doesn't carry over to the rest of the road trip. And it didn't.
No.
They went into New Jersey and beat a New Jersey team that was, you know, playing with a lot of emotion. Not sure if Marty Brodeur is going to be leaving in the next couple of days. And they won. They won pretty handily in that game, 4-2. So a nice win. Stalock playing well again, earning three of the first four starts out of the Olympic break. And after that game, there were more rumblings than ever that there might be a pretty significant goalie controversy on our hands at that point. Now, having seen the Sharks play the two toughest teams on their post-Olympic break schedule and Niemi drawing both those contests, there doesn't seem to be any question that Niemi is still the guy in McClellan's mind, right?
No, but I think it's clear that Stalock can step up. And there's one thing that I did a little bit of research. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but one thing that was an interesting situation is there's a weird wrinkle to the NHL CBA in terms of free agency. I don't know if you remember Kevin Kerr's writing out about this.
I know what you're going to say.
There's something called Group 6 free agency, okay? There's a lot of different kinds of free agency, and there's something called Group 6 free agency, which is if a player is 26 or older and he's played under a certain number of NHL games, then even though he might, according to his contract and other situations, he might technically be a restricted free agent, under this Group 6 situation, he could be an unrestricted free agent. And of course, the reason why we're talking about this is because Alex Stalock's been under contract for the Sharks for a while. He's 26 years old, and he hasn't played a whole heck of a lot of games. And so the thing is that if he didn't play...
I think it was 14 games.
14 games at, you know, after the beginning of February, then he was going to be an unrestricted free agent, which is not good for the Sharks, because I think it's pretty clear this guy is sort of the future of the goaltending position for the Sharks. So I wonder if he's going to continue to get more starts, because he still needs, I think, roughly 50% of the starts here on out in order for the Sharks to avoid this unrestricted Group 6 free agency.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was 14 starts from that day or 14 starts on the season. I can't remember, but...
I think it was from that day.
They needed to play him a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so, well, was the motivation for playing him more this Group 6 situation? Probably partially, but you also couldn't argue with the results. I mean, if he was going out there stinking it up, it would have been hard to
that would be brutal.
Have him kept being run out there because they don't want to lose him.
Yeah, it's a weird situation, though, because, I mean, you really... Especially if Stalock has excellent numbers right now, you would hate to see him not play enough games and then there'd be some sort of bidding war after the season and the Sharks are in deep trouble in terms of a backup goaltender, or maybe in 2 years, a starting goaltender if they don't re-sign Niemi. So,
what the heck's going on with Chris over here?
Not sure.
What just happened?
I think he's doing yoga.
He's like crawling around on the ground and put the camera down, and then he rolled around, and now he's back. He's good. I wish that we could film you right now hiding underneath a treadmill. This is happening. It looks like it's like a home invasion gone wrong. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, I think he's doing some sort of Russian martial arts. Sambo. Anyway.
The Carolina game, dude. Carolina. Sharks come home.
They don't play well against Carolina. They just don't play well.
Yeah. That was disappointing.
They pick it up late in the game, managed to get a point out of it because they were basically losing for a decent part of it. They get the point. They lose in overtime on a pretty bad breakdown and open net goal, essentially. That wasn't Stalock's fault by any means. But I think the story of that game was Burns off the schneid. That was the main news item because he had gone, 19 games, 18 games without a goal?
Right.
And, you know, he had been sort of shuffled around the lines a little bit. And so...
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, that's huge for him. We need him badly to be productive if the Sharks are going to make a serious run here. And what makes you think the Sharks might make a serious run? Well, they did beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they just shellacked Montreal last night in a 4-0 game that I think was actually kind of worse than that. And it wasn't close. I mean, Montreal had a few moments, but, you know, not good and really good from the Sharks. You look at that, you go, okay, two Eastern powerhouses, and the Sharks beat them combined 9-3.
Right.
That's good times.
And Pittsburgh especially, because that's the number one team in the East right now. So you want to see them play well. Although, you know, Pittsburgh had their backup goaltender in. I don't know how, you know, there's been stuff about Fleury, how maybe he's not as good as he once was. So I'm not sure how much of a step down it was.
There was
Zach off.
There was a weak goal or two in both those games from Budaj and from Zach off. But I don't think you take that away from the Sharks. You know, that the Sharks earned both those wins, and I think would have won both those games if Fleury or Price had been playing. I mean, the Sharks were the better team both those nights, and I think it gives them confidence to move forward here. As we look at the standings, I mean, lo and behold, the Sharks are only 4 points behind the Ducks now.
That's shocking. Or
the Ducks have kind of stalled, and the Kings have won 7 in a row, and the Sharks still have an 8-point cushion on them. So the Sharks need to continue to take care of business as we look going forward here, a home game against Toronto on Tuesday, going to Columbus, going to the Islanders, the next three games, they should win those games. They need to continue to get 2 points, 2 points, 2 points out of these games. So then they've got a tough one against the Rangers, you know, in the Garden. Take care of business. Get it this week. Get 6 points. You got to get 6 points, and I can smell the Ducks. I can smell them. Dude.
Yeah, that's going to be That's going to be a big game.
And that is huge.
Because that could be a game for the division lead that night.
March 20th. I mean, that could be it. You know, in terms of the Ducks kind of flattening out, the Sharks making a push, if they could continue to carry the momentum for these last couple games. And it's a big difference between, I mean, we're talking about having the advantage at being the two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hosting the Kings to being the one and hosting the Stars.
Yeah, that is a huge difference, because the Kings series is gonna be a long series. You're gonna get banged up. It's gonna be rough.
The guys know that. I mean, you know, they know that.
They want to take it over from the Ducks if possible. So, it didn't look possible at the break, but all of a sudden Sharks are hot, Ducks are a little cool. Could happen.
Yeah, it definitely could happen. So hopefully they'll keep pushing through here, dude.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, dude, are we going to talk about the trade deadline?
Yes, this is my favorite. I love this. I love this and free agent day. They're my favorite.
Yeah, it's great.
Look how excited I am. Dude, you see my San Jose Earthquakes jersey?
I do like that, dude. You see my donut wheel shirt?
I do.
Almost as cool as the Earthquakes
jersey.
Oh, my
goodness. Well, let's start by going back to the Ryan Miller Steve Ott trade, because that takes us all the way back to February 28th. That happened while we were boarding the plane.
Yep, for
to
Vegas.
That kind of goes down, and of course the plane was a buzz. And what I mean by that, Mike and I were a buzz.
Yeah, you and I were a buzz. Nobody else even had any clue who either of those guys were.
Right in front of the Sharks' face, because the Sharks are in Buffalo. What do you think about this trade?
Well, I mean, Buffalo had to get rid of some guys. I mean, they had to get rid of those guys. There was no chance they're going to get re-signed. They had to get try and get some value. They did. They got two decent players in Halak and Stewart, and they got a conditional first-round pick. They got two first-round picks. So all in all, I'd say Buffalo did fairly well in getting value for those guys. Because if they didn't, they probably would have ended up getting nothing. So at least they did. And then they turned around and flipped Halak, you know, which we'll talk about in a second. But I mean, Chris Stewart is a player who probably should be better than he is, who's been kind of disappointing throughout his career. But, you know, he's not a bum. So
no, he's a useful player on a team that needs scoring. I mean, I think they knew that they were going to be parting with Molson later and losing Steve Ott. So I do think they intended to trade him, and then just nothing ever happened. You know, we saw a few players like that end up staying with their teams. But I mean, this is I kind of think this is robbery. You know, I mean, it's still, even though they gave up a goalie they didn't want. They gave up a forward they didn't want, and they gave up two first round picks. They're basically going to be, you know, in the high 20s.
Yeah, high 20s.
So for a goalie, they're going to resign.
Right.
And Steve Ott, they probably, I mean, he might stay too.
Yeah.
So if you end up keeping both those guys, this is a freaking steal.
Yeah.
By the Blues.
And really good for a team that is on the come right now. They're looking to get better for the playoffs. These are two kinds of players that you want to get before the playoffs. You want to get a guy who can agitate and score and kill penalties. And, you know, Ryan Miller certainly has a great pedigree, although it's debatable how dominant of a goaltender he is now, but he's certainly no slouch. And you feel very confident going into the playoffs with him as your number one.
Yeah, you put him on a good team and he's going to be a good player. The Blues are significantly better.
Yes.
Because
there's no doubt about that.
So I think as Sharks fans, all you hope is that the Blackhawks and the Blues just beat the tar out of each other in that, you know, division finals. That they're so beat up when they get, if the Sharks are the ones left, you know, that they're so beat up, they don't have much left. You kind of hope that might be the situation, but I mean, the Sharks have played very well against the Blues this year. And
yeah,
you know, do Steve Ott and Ryan Miller change that? I don't know how much that changes how dominant the Sharks and the Pacific in general has been over the Blues. So,
right.
We'll see. What else, dude?
There's some other big trades, dude. Dustin Penner. Huge trade.
Well, this is what made this whole thing funny, was that the Ducks just start clearing space, right?
Yeah.
Because they're going to make a move to get Vonick or Ryan Kesler.
Yes. That's the word.
And neither of those things happen.
Right.
So instead, the Ducks end up with Stefan Robida, who's a useful player, although very injury prone.
Now, yes, yeah. At one time, he was one of the better power play defensemen in the league, frankly. Maybe not top three, but he was up there.
And they ditch Pancakes Penner.
Yeah.
Which,
is a pretty good move.
I guess. I mean,
and they got rid of Victor Faust, who was in the minors. And remember they signed him after, like, he played for like 10 days and they signed him to like a 10-year deal or something. Not that much, but they signed him to a lot of money for
A couple million dollars after playing like 10 games. And now Edmonton's like, we love him.
Exactly.
Bring him here.
So that, I mean, despite of, you know, clearly they were trying to get Vonick or Kesler, neither of those two moves are actually that terrible for the Ducks, getting rid of those guys.
But it does. I mean, Penner was playing and it does weaken their depth up front a little bit. You know, not that I'm afraid of Dustin Penner, but
right.
You know, I do think it's very fitting that he's playing for the Capitals now. <laughs> You know, the team known for just completely, you know, dumping out at the end, you know, just like Penner. So
it's maybe true.
He'll bring his waffle iron.
So dude, we saw a lot of goalies on the move. We saw Brizgalov move, you know,
right.
Obviously Miller moved, Faust moved. And then Halak got flipped to the Capitals for Michael Neuvirth. And Rossi Kelesla, which is, you know, one of the more entertaining stories of trade deadline.
Yeah, poor Rossi Kelesla.
Yeah.
And he goes from Phoenix to Washington to Buffalo in 48 hours, right?
And now he just says, that's it, I retire. I'm done with this stuff.
I'm walking away.
I'm out.
I'm walking away. Hallock to Washington, that's a no-lose situation. I mean, Neuwirth had fallen out of favor there, and they're playing Holtby anyways. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Hallock has proven that he can steal a playoff series. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know who will play more, but I'm looking at this list here that you have in front of you. There's so many bizarre moves
I
here.
I know.
Things that you didn't see coming. Luongo back to Florida.
Yeah,
the total
funny.
Dismantling of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yes. Love it. It never gets old. And apparently Bieksa was on the block, and basically everybody was available at that point. Everybody but the Sedins. You know, Bieksa was available. Kessler was available. You know, Luongo's obviously gone.
What a mess. I mean,
yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I want to call Mike Gillis and say, I told you so.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to hile Tortorella. What do you think is going to happen?
Right. You have this completely offensively coddled team with these guys like the Sedins, who have the best, you know, offensive zone star percentage, you know, the highest in the entire league. And then you bring in a defensive minded coach, and you think he's just going to start telling the Sedins and Kessler, these guys, oh yeah, you're not going to get that much opportunity to score anymore. I just want you to play in the corner and kick the puck behind your own net for 60 minutes.
Well, I mean, the fact that he went into a situation that was already challenging with Luongo and then just completely alienated him right after the Olympic break
mm-hmm.
by playing Eddie Lack, who's just a world beater, you know, playing Eddie Lack in the Heritage Classic.
God,
that's such a slap in the face. This is the guy Luongo who they have. You see the images of them taking down his, like, you know, Godzilla size image off of their arena.
Yeah,
he was like emblazoned on their arena, and they had to take it down.
Plays for Team Canada, and he can't play for the
and
Canucks.
He's not good enough to play for the Canucks
for Eddie Lack. It's not like,
and then Lack goes out there and poops himself. Did you see the pictures? Did you see it?
What?
There's pictures. I don't think that's really what,
like,
it is.
Like, literally?
Well, there's pictures. Look them up. Look it up right now.
Dude, I want to know.
Whoa. Stop the clock.
Wait, he did what?
No, I don't think he really did that. But there's a picture of him in the goalie crease warming up, and he definitely has a stain.
Oh.
In a unfortunate area.
Right, got it. Okay.
So it's funny.
Okay.
It does you and then you say, oh, Eddie Lack.
Right. Eddie Lack lacks continence.
Continence.
All right. So, dude, there's plenty of other big trades. I mean, is this the biggest trade deadline day? I mean, this is the biggest trade delay in recent memory.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that happened.
I mean, Martin Saint-Louis.
But then stuff that didn't happen. Hey, let's get to this, okay?
Saint-Louis?
Martin Saint-Louis.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. For
Callahan, because the interesting part for us is that LeBrun and Drager, after the deal goes down, says, well, if this deal didn't go down, Callahan was coming to San Jose, which I still am trying to figure that out.
Yeah, me too.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
I mean, Callahan can score goals. I think he scored in the high 20s a couple times. He might have hit 30 once. But he's essentially known as a Joe Pavelski type of player.
Right.
He's not a
Vonick. Joe Pavelski will take exception with his near 40-goal season this year.
No, I'm saying, like, but what I was going to say is he's not as good as Joe Pavelski. So why do you need another one?
But he'd be coming in to a team like the Sharks and playing a very complimentary role, you know, either as a winger with Marlowe and Couture. Dude, on face value, I'd love to have Ryan Callahan.
Sure, I like him as a player. I really do.
I do get concerned about what the price might have been on that. But
if they were close and they ended up taking Saint-Louis, then it makes me really wonder what the Sharks were offering.
Well, if you look at the other deals, dude, because in order to get Saint-Louis, I mean, essentially, this went down differently, right? The Rangers ended up trading for Saint-Louis instead of trading away mm-hmm. Ryan Callahan.
Yes.
You know?
I think that's
so true. It's two totally different situations. I mean, the Rangers end up giving up, you know, a conditional second, which I think could be a first, and a first in the draft of all drafts, right? 2015.
Yeah, right.
And then they get a, you know, 38-year-old, you know, forward that still is an elite scorer.
Absolutely.
Who has a year left on his contract, and they get a conditional second. So they gave up a lot to get a star.
Yes.
I mean, they get a star. Yes.
They got totally the better player.
But if you look at the other deals, like if the Rangers are trading Callahan, you look at what other teams were giving up for players like that. Like, let's look at what the Kings gave up for Gavrik. Okay.
That's Gavrik can't stay healthy. He's like Martin
Havlat. How's it different?
Because San Luis stays healthy and he scores all the time.
Okay, well, find one of these other players that the other team got a good deal for them, dude. What did Buffalo get for Matt Molson? They got 2 seconds and Torrey freaking Mitchell.
Yeah, I know.
So what do the Sharks have? They have 2 seconds.
Right.
And we have Tyler Kennedy. So was the deal Tyler Kennedy and 2 seconds? There's no way cap-wise that works. So maybe, I mean, the whole day I was saying, if the Sharks are going to get Vonick, which we heard that they were in on that, which I don't believe now,
mm-hmm.
that they were, because if they were, they couldn't have beaten what Montreal was offering. Montreal gave them jelly bellies.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it was a joke,
Sebastian
right?
Colburn in a conditional second.
Yeah, they gave them nothing. Basically,
yeah, that's
Arsenal totally screwed that up.
I was so surprised that they didn't have to give up more. I mean,
whoever it was would have to take, they'd have to take Havlat. You have to take Havlat salary wise, or they'd have to retain part of the salary, and then the Sharks probably would have to give up a little bit more. So I was saying, well, if the Sharks don't get Vonick, I mean, you're going to be mad if it's Nieto and a second going the other way. Yes, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, so who knows what the deal was? We have no idea what it was. But
the St. Louis part of it just makes me just shake my head. There's got to be more to this story, because at least some of the story is that St. Louis got really mad because Steve Yzerman didn't put him on the Olympic team.
Well,
is there something else?
I think that's part of it. And I had also heard that Brian Lawton had said, former GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, had said that at a point in his tenure, St. Louis had come to him and asked to be traded to New York. So this is not a new thing.
Okay.
He lives in Connecticut. He wants to play up there. And I think the Olympic thing was the last straw.
Really?
Dude, I'm not justifying it. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, he got a gold medal. He got to go. I mean, Saka.
He went anyway. And he comes back from the Olympics and he's like, wah, you didn't pick me on the first team, so I want to be traded? I mean,
dude, I'm picking a podcast Olympic team, a podcast Olympic team. I'm picking it.
Yeah.
And we're going to Sochi to podcast, dude.
And you don't pick me?
And I don't take you.
Yeah, okay.
I take someone else.
Right.
You'd be pissed, dude. You'd be pissed. I can understand how he was pissed. He's like, he's their boy. Like, even though they've got Stamkos, like, Yzerman should have taken him on the first, like, he should have said, I'm the GM of this team and we're taking my boy, or I freaking quit.
So is that an argument against an NHL GM being the GM for Team Canada? Because you run into these kinds of conflicts of interest and you have repercussions after the fact. Is that what this is?
I think possibly, but I mean, I guess it's up to the person, because
I mean, if Doug Wilson was the GM for Team Canada and he didn't take Couture, like with that, and then Couture's like, I want to be traded. This is crap.
Well, that could have happened.
I guess. Yeah. Makes me glad that.
Or let's say, okay, well, great hypothetical. I mean, let's say that Doug Wilson was the GM for Team Canada and he picked the exact same team and he didn't take Couture and he didn't take Jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
So Jumbo is renegotiating a contract and then he goes, no, I'm not Stan.
Right, because you don't believe in me.
I'm not staying, and I'm not going to waive my no trade, so you can't move me at the deadline.
Right.
So I'm going to walk away, and you guys are going to get nothing.
Right, right.
It puts them in a really weird spot. So I don't know. I think if Doug Wilson was the GM for Team Canada, Jumbo would have been on the team, Marlon would have been on the team, Couture would have been on the team. It would have been the Sharks, basically, going over there. It's hard. It puts them in a weird position. And like, and the whole business with the...
Brad Stewart would have been on the team.
I think it's going to be different next time if they do play, because... There's no way they're going to get open media access like they did this time, where they wrote all about how Team USA thinks Bobby Ryan is a, you know, worthless player, basically. That's not good.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
That totally backfired.
You can't fix that.
Yeah.
You can't fix that.
Oops.
They humiliated him to the entire.
They did.
Entire league.
They did. They did.
So, I don't know. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't want Doug Wilson to be the GM of Team Canada.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it for him. I don't think if he's still... But then the flip side of it is, well, then who's the GM? Cliff Fletcher?
There's a lot of guys.
Or John Ferguson?
Dale Tallon?
Yeah. Well, he's working.
I know. He's at least working. Yeah, you're right.
Mike Milbury? Like, you know, Pierre Maguire.
Yeah. Well, Pierre Maguire's American.
Well, I'm sure he'd do a great job.
Yeah. Awesome. At least he knows where everyone went to college. All right.
I do love that Torrey Mitchell asked to be traded, too. That's my favorite.
He asked to be traded?
That was the word.
Oh, sweet.
Tim Thomas to Texas. That is so fitting.
That is hilarious.
When Luongo gets traded to Florida, he says, you better go pump some tires.
and then he's gone
like hours later.
And then Luongo tweets, no, which is even more hilarious. You got to love that guy. That's too funny. That is too funny.
Tim Thomas at Dallas. I mean, the Stars, I don't know. He did Florida a favor there by taking him on. That was going to be a very awkward situation. Well, Marcel Gotch was a player that I thought the Sharks might target. The price, a third and a fifth, is a little much.
Yeah.
So clearly when Kessler didn't get moved, I think Gotch ended up being Pittsburgh's second choice along with Lee Stempniak. So, I mean, they end up giving up two thirds and a fifth and they get Stempniak and Gotch.
It's not so bad.
No, it's not so bad.
Stempniak's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he can help them down the road.
Leguan got traded. He's been in Nashville forever.
Right. And this has been really interesting because in Leguan's first game in Detroit, he had like 3 points. But he's like, thank God!
You know? I don't just have to play defense anymore. I can actually try.
This is a guy who was, what, the second pick overall?
Yeah.
And had the weight of the franchise on his shoulders basically for a long time until Shea Weber and Ryan Suter ended up being elite players. And then he felt a lot less pressure. But now in Detroit, I mean, this guy, he may really blossom into what he was supposed to be. This could be a steal for the Red Wings.
He could blossom like Steven Weiss.
That's not fair.
No, it's not.
That's mean.
Are we sure?
What are we missing, dude?
Dude, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, that's a lot of trades.
Really cool. I want to talk about Gabbert to the Kings.
Okay. You think it's really going to help them?
No. I think it's hilarious. I think actually it's...
Is that them not getting Vonick and they need somebody?
No. I mean... You think Garcino would have, not needed Viagra the rest of his life if he had gotten that haul for Thomas Vonick. He got a second and a third and Matt Fratton. And you look at what they got a conditional second and which is that conditional second is that if Montreal makes the playoffs, it's going to happen.
Right.
And some no name. I mean, their sixth ranked prospect.
Right.
Which Garcino went everywhere and tried to defend like. That I mean, they blew it.
Yeah.
I mean, they really blew it. And I mean, not that Matt Fratton's like a great player, but at least they got a guy who's playing like NHL minutes now, plus a second, plus a third. So that's bad. But Gabrick for Daryl Sutter, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to work well.
No. Actually, I think it could be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it could. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like they didn't give up anything that's going to affect, but it could just be weird. And it could just detract from, and everyone's like, oh, well, the Kings can't score goals, so this is going to help them score goals. And clearly, like, they're playing very well right now. They won 7 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was back in Vegas, I think odds are 5-1 that Gavrik gets hurt again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Sure.
I mean, I just don't think he's going to make it to through the rest of the year playing that style.
No, no,
he's not
going to
make
it.
No.
Or he's just not going to play that style, and then he's going to end up on the bench. He's right. Just going to refuse.
This smells like a benching, a mid-game benching.
Yeah,
and
this could
pouting.
Be like healthy scratch territory,
right?
Depending on how things turn out.
Speaking of healthy scratching,
yeah,
Martin Havlat out of the lineup again.
Yeah,
at which the way James Shepherd is playing.
Right.
You can't blame him. Adam Burrish also playing effectively. So Havlat now is the strategy just so blatantly obvious that they're just going to, if they don't have to play him, they won't.
That appears to be the situation. That appears to be the situation. Just, okay, keep him healthy so that we can buy him out when the season's over. Just keep him in one piece until we can get him a plane ticket. Essentially, that appears to be the situation. I, you know, and they obviously didn't trade him, so that situation. I mean, it was funny that there was this sort of article during the break about how Havlat is trying to recondition his image in San Jose and do the right things. Well, that seemed to last about two and a half games or so. I mean, I feel a little bad for the guy, I gotta be honest, but it is what it is. I mean, he kind of made his own bet on this deal.
I mean, if he was playing better, there'd
right.
be no problem.
That's
but
true.
He's not playing well. And you see it in very fleeting moments, but mm-hmm. for the most part.
Yeah, you see these moments of brilliance, but there's all these other things that I'm sure he's not doing that the coaching staff notices. And they say, why would we want a guy who doesn't play the kind of game that we want in exchange for two good things a game when we can get James Shepherd, who maybe isn't quite as creative or is skilled on the offensive side of the puck, but is certainly willing to do all that other stuff that Havlat doesn't seem willing to do. You know, I can understand that line of thinking. I get that.
Dude, what team improved the most at the deadline? What team improved the most?
The Blues did.
Yeah.
The Blues did, because they got a good player in Ott and a great goaltender in Ryan Miller. It's the Blues. They launched themselves into the pole position in terms of the Stanley Cup, essentially. And of course, you know, it's never going to count until you win 16 games in the playoffs, and anything can happen in that time. But they certainly put themselves in an excellent position to go the whole way. So certainly the Blues did the best, and it's pretty obvious the Islanders did the worst. I mean, they traded for Vonick, and they gave up a King's ransom to get him, and then they ended up getting a Popper's leftovers and when trading him away. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, Gar Snow should be fine. I mean, think about it this way. You know, Buffalo probably had to trade Miller and maybe Ott, and they still got pretty good value for him. They got good goaltender in Halak. They got Stewart. They got some other stuff. You know, they were over sort of the same barrel as Gar Snow. I mean, these are guys who are likely not going to resign. And it's not like Buffalo is some prize to play for at the moment any more than the Islanders are, except Buffalo has a pretty good fan base and it's a way better place to play.
The thing that makes it way worse in the Islanders situation is that they gave Buffalo their first round pick in either this year or next year's draft,
and
which will
be
a top 10 because they suck
top five
for
probably.
Infinity.
Yeah.
Like, and a second, it was terrible. Like, just,
it just shows
really
you
really bad situation.
It
there.
Shows you that
desperate.
Contrast between a team that is, you know, in a bad spot in Buffalo, but at least isn't horribly managed, and a team that's in a bad spot on the island and is horribly managed. It's like they're just in a terrible spot. They're not going to be able to improve.
Doesn't Mike Gillis have to be fired at this point too? I mean, and it's not even for the Luongo deal on face value. It's that in a year, he traded Schneider
and
Luongo.
Yeah, for Eddie Lack. Oh, thank God we got Eddie Lack.
For that alone.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He should be fired. Like that is, and it's also his fault for hiring Tortorella. Like, he made so many poor decisions. And now they have grumpy Ryan Kesler hanging around. I mean, he's going to be gone
right
at the draft. They're going to have to trade him too. The Canucks. I mean, and then rebuilding under Tortorella.
And then the Sedins are going to get super grumpy and they're going to demand to be traded.
It's a bad situation. I love it.
Yeah.
I love every minute of it. Good. You see, a team that's just, they were a powerhouse. I remember they were a powerhouse just a couple years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals. And now they're decimated.
Dude, speaking of grumpy, it appears Worcester Sharks fans are grumpy right now. There's been some new. Why don't you tell us what went on some today?
Gosh, I had noticed on Twitter that there were several unhappy Worcester Sharks fans, including Daryl Hunt, who covers the Worcester Sharks for Sharks Page and also tweets a lot of great Worcester Sharks news. And he was pretty upset, and I didn't really understand why, but there were a lot of statements saying, you know, we're never going to follow the Sharks again. You know, San Jose Sharks as an organization don't care about Worcester Sharks. And I didn't really understand. So I did a little digging and found out that the Worcester Sharks had a player named Yanni Gourde, which I'm not even sure I'm saying that right, dude.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Who was on a 25-game player tryout contract with the Worcester Sharks, and that contract was done today. And he was a point-per-game player in the AHL, and he actually played for the Bulls last year, part of the year. He was an elite junior player.
Yeah, won the MVP of the QMJHL.
And was leading the Worcester Sharks in assists, and the Sharks let him walk. And
for
he
nothing.
Was signed
immediately, you know,
moments later by the Tampa Bay Lightning, who gave him a two-year deal effective starting next year, a two-way NHL deal. And Worcester Sharks fans were pissed.
Yeah.
You know, that now their best offensive player is gone.
For nothing.
And we've heard this from Worcester Sharks followers in the past, that the San Jose Sharks parent organization doesn't care about how that team does in terms of standings or playoff runs or trying to win the AHL championship, right?
Yeah, and we've heard the same thing. Actually, I remember Kevin Kerr saying something on TV about it one time, and they said something about AHL, and he says, who cares if the Worcester Sharks win any games? It doesn't matter, right? And that, I mean, for better or for worse, that appears to be the thinking among the Sharks brass.
Well,
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's certainly a bad thing for fans of the Worcester Sharks.
Right.
I mean, I certainly feel bad for those guys.
You get 50 contracts, right?
Total.
And essentially, if we want to break it down, the San Jose Sharks signed a different junior hockey player, last name of Goudreau, this week, instead of signing this kid playing in Worcester. That's the choice they made. They went with the 19-20-year-old instead of the guy who was playing in Worcester. And it's not like they probably weren't watching him play. There was something about it that they just didn't feel like. The goal is to have guys under contract for the San Jose Sharks who could eventually play for the San Jose Sharks.
Right.
And I think that the guys who were tweeting from Worcester today were saying, you look at how many Yanni Gourdes there are, like how many Nick Petrekis have the Sharks signed and stashed in Worcester that have just been awful, that have no shot at playing in the NHL. So why can't you find a way to keep this kid who is playing very well here?
Right.
And
I mean, the big knock against him is he's extremely undersized, right? He's like 5'9", 160 pounds, which, you know, 15 years ago means you wouldn't get drafted and you wouldn't even get a second look. Now you can be a fairly effective player. It's pretty rare, but it happens. But I guess the Sharks just saw something else in this other guy, and they thought he had more upside. But I can sympathize. It seems like the Sharks haven't done a fantastic job of picking young players in recent years, and you at least want to see the team that you root for be decent and not seemingly purposefully sabotage yourselves by just ditching a guy who has 25 points in 25 games.
I don't think that they're purposely sabotaging. You got to imagine that they probably offered him an AHL contract.
Right.
And he said no. I know I'm going to get a deal from Tampa Bay. They've already called my agent. I'm going to do that. So if San Jose wasn't willing to invest in his future, then they weren't willing to invest in his future. And, you know, you wish the kid luck. But I do understand, like, that sucks. I mean,
that
like,
really
you basically
sucks.
Have your yeah. best player ripped away from you as you're trying to make a playoff push, and now he's gone. Like, he's on another team, and there's no... But that's... Being a fan of a minor league team, like,
right.
that's what happens. Like,
yeah, it's true.
If you're a fan of a baseball team and you're a triple A team, and if your player and your team is doing well and your players are playing well, guess what?
They're
going to the show.
Yeah, they're
going to
get called up.
And that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of minor league sports, is to develop talent and have it promoted. Now, how much talent have the Worcester Sharks developed in recent years? Not a lot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that was also part of their argument, if I understood sort of the Twitter ranting, is that, you know, there's really none of that happening. They didn't develop Matt Nieto. Matt Nieto didn't really play there.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they didn't develop Logan Couture, really. I mean, he played a season there. Mm-hmm. Right.
Irwin,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Bit.
Matt Tennyson, if he ends up playing in the NHL. So... I don't know.
Not
I
a
feel,
great track record.
Feel bad for
I
them,
feel bad for those guys, yeah.
But the Sharks are an organization that's not in a position like a team like Pittsburgh that has so many good young players that are able to just sit and play in the AHL. If you're a good young player in the San Jose Sharks organization, you're playing for the Sharks.
That's right.
You know? And that's... Matt Nieto is playing up here. So is Thomas Hertl when he's healthy. The Sharks aren't in a position to have those guys lead the Worcester Sharks to glory.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's,
know?
It's true. It's unfortunately true.
So I would love to hear more from any Worcester Sharks
yeah.
fans or anyone else who has any more insight into this. While I think we sympathize with your feelings on the situation, like it's hard to like not understand the Sharks side of it as well, even though they've made no, it was like it never happened.
Right.
Like the Sharks.
Right. And I think that's another sort of, that's another sort of stinger for the fan base, which is, okay, not only did you like ditch this guy, like you didn't even really make yourself available or explain it, which could rightly be seen as sort of like a disrespectful move towards the fan base of the Worcester Sharks. Just like, okay, we know you guys supposedly care about this team, but we just got rid of one of your better players, and we're not even going to tell you.
I think the answer is clear. They don't care about
that
team very much. They
yeah,
don't.
They don't.
They don't, and I don't think that they've really hidden that much, you know? And we see a different relationship here in the Bay Area, and it, you know, the AHL franchises only go as far as Texas, right? So,
mm-hmm.
like, if there was an AHL team closer to San Jose, maybe it would be different. I mean, the San Francisco Giants and the San Jose Giants have, I mean, while there's no players going from single A to the
yeah.
majors, you see a lot of players come from the San Jose Giants all the way to San Francisco, and they certainly leave those players there for a whole season. And the Warriors have their, you know, developmental team in Santa Cruz, and
right.
used to be in North Dakota, you know, so they move that team out here. They have guys going over there on off days playing games for the developmental team. You know, they signed two of the brothers of Stephen Curry's brother and Klay Thompson's brother. They both play in Santa Cruz, and they're not really NBA prospects, but there's like a marketing thing going on
yeah.
there with those guys, you
right.
know? So they certainly care more about their minor league franchise, but it's not like they're going to send Stephen Curry down so that they can win
a
NBA
D-League.
Development League title.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's
you
true.
Know, but that's, I'm over-exaggerating. I mean, it sucks.
It does. It does. I feel for those guys. All right, dude, I think we've gone on long enough. A lot of great things to talk about.
How was the video? How'd we do? Did we ignore you?
Thumbs up. Okay, good.
Alphonse Cuarón, ladies and gentlemen. It's fantastic. Muy bien. Well done.
Dude, this will be on YouTube very soon. If it's not on YouTube by the time you're actually listening to this, you can check out us in our animated glory sitting at this table. Wow.
I'm saying Sharks get 6 points this week. I feel it. I think we're on a roll. I think the next time we talk, we'll be staring the Ducks in the face, dude.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. That's going to be I'm circling the calendar, man. Thursday, May 20th against Anaheim. We play them again right near the end of the season on April 9th. Both of those games could be could make the difference between winning the Pacific Conference. No, the what's even the
division.
Name? It's a division.
It's a division.
Okay, winning that and not, it really could be that close. So Those are going to be very key games. That Sharks Ducks rivalry is very, very much alive.
Go Sharks!
Go Sharks!
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.